In mid-2017, I travelled to the Syrian Arab Republic. The war was in its sixth year, yet it was beginning to feel like an end could be in sight. Aleppo had just been liberated, and Daesh were beginning their long retreat across the desert. In this film, we travel to the ruins of Homs and Aleppo to find life slowly returning. Will Syrians ever be able to forgive? We witness coalition jets pounding Daesh terrorists outside Palmyra. And we hit the front lines of East Damascus to find the Syrian army on the cusp of victory. The first thing you notice about Damascus is that most of it could pass as a city at peace. For the last 6 years, most of what we have seen of this country on our TV screens have been bombs dropping, burnt out buildings, and men, women, and children fleeing in terror. But much of Syria remains untouched and civilized. Although it wasn't long before we were in Jobe, only a few kilometers from the center of the city where war was raging. 6 years of it, every inch fought over time and again, and it showed. On this bus, graffiti reading, "Danger of death beyond this point," perhaps a joke or simply a warning. Only a few weeks previously, the militants had launched a shock offensive. It had failed, and now the Syrian army were on the move. Taking us to the front was Captain Khaled. A month later, during the editing of this film, he would be killed in fighting not far from where we are now.
This area used to be under militant control. As you can see, it's obviously under the army's control now. The front line is not far ahead, and that's where we're going now.
From behind us, artillery sporadically pounds the militant lines. At the time, Jobe was the last remaining suburb in Damascus controlled by the militants, who were dominated by Daesh and Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups. If the Syrian army failed here, Damascus would have fallen into their hands. We're now close to the front, only 100 meters from militant lines, where snipers lie in wait.
He says that this is one of the most important positions in the area. It's a heavy fire position, which is able to support the other lines, the other areas in this section.
From here, the Syrian army can look down upon the enemy, but in such an exposed position, there are obvious dangers. The soldiers are keen to show off their ingenuity, a heavy machine gun linked to a remote control. If this position is hit, the operator will be in another room. From overhead, the roar of a rocket, targeting militants, but it could have hit anybody. Over the last 6 years, ingenious ways of killing have been developed by both sides, tunnels and counter-tunnels. This war is being fought underground as well as from above. The danger of snipers and mortar attacks are very real, but it is clear that after 6 years of war, only the Syrian army can win from here.
You can hear the rocket fire. Every few minutes, a rocket comes over our head and lands in one of the militants' positions.
There have been times in this war that the government have been on the brink. It's easy to forget the president's palace is only a few miles from here. This is Captain Feeder. He's in charge of this part of the line. He shows me a dead militant on his phone. He tells me that the militants are tough. They don't care about dying. They're fanatics, he says. I asked him whether he was surprised about the high-tech weapons that the militants were able to get their hands on.
لا لا، الدعم المالي الكبير اللي بنعرفه نحن من قطر ومن دول الخليجية ومن السعودية، فطبيعي يكون عندهم هيك آلات وهيك تجهيزات. طبيعي باعتباره كمان الحدود مفتوحة من هون للأردن، يعني يدخل لنا أي شيء بالدنيا.
In Captain Feeder's quarters, a small shell-marked apartment on the most dangerous part of the line, we drink tea. On the ceiling, the damage done by a mortar shell. Captain Feeder tells me he was only out of his quarters a few minutes before it hit. On the TV, Mosul, in northern Iraq. A coalition of Iraqi and American military are laying siege. All across the region, Daesh is in retreat. After drinking tea, we made our way back through the wreckage of East Damascus, and in 20 minutes, we were back in downtown, where apart from the odd roar of a fighter jet and the dozens of military checkpoints, the war seemed very far away. From Damascus, we headed north. Our final destination were the ruins of Aleppo, but first stop jutting out into the Syrian desert, the ancient city of Palmyra. As we got close, the road became littered with the debris of war. And as we entered, the devastation became clear. This town has changed hands 4 times in the last 6 years. While up on the hill, the citadel, like it has done for almost 1,000 years, looks down on the ancient ruins below. Only 3 weeks earlier, Daesh barbarians had held this town. In the Roman amphitheater, they had filmed their child recruits executing Syrian soldiers. They then broadcast it around the world. Now there's a billboard in the center of town. The leaders of Russia, Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah, the international coalition that drove them out. It wasn't long before we were heading to the front, which is now a few miles out of town. We passed dug-in bases and artillery positions off-road and out into the desert. General Fouad Kaddour was there to meet us. He tells us that this is the front line and points out the enemy positions. Small arms fire, and we had to duck back behind the dirt wall. But it was only the barbarians who were dying today. Air superiority is all out in the desert. Above, warplanes, Syrian, the general said, although they could have been Russian. And a few seconds later, the bombs land. We watched for some time as plane after plane came over, some direct hits, others missing. Tonight they would advance under cover of darkness towards the town of Arak. They planned to take that in a few days and then onwards, past a couple more towns and to Deir Ezzor, the town that has miraculously held out against Daesh for 6 years. They'd finally take that town 5 months later, and an end of the war is now in sight. During my time in Syria, a terrorist inspired by Daesh bombed Manchester, England. A young man of Libyan heritage walked into a concert venue in the city centre and killed 23 people. A week later, a van was driven into pedestrians on London Bridge. 3 men with fake explosive jackets jumped out and began stabbing whoever they could find. 8 were killed. They were also inspired by Daesh, the same terrorists that the Syrian army were fighting out here in the desert. The general told me that he and his men were fighting for civilization and that they were dying on behalf of the West as well. And as the general spoke to his men, I couldn't help feeling that they deserve some respect for that. A thank you from those in the West that Daesh have sworn to kill. During the editing of this film, we received the news that General Fouad Kaddour was killed by a tank shell on the front line. Critics of this film may well accuse me of promoting the Syrian army. In the West, they have been accused of war crimes and of killing their own people. But on the front line, faced with Al-Qaeda and Daesh militants, it's not hard to know which side to support. From Palmyra, we headed west to one of Syria's main cities, much of it now in ruins. We're just entering the city of Homs now, and the first impression is that it is breathtaking, not just because of the scale of the destruction, but because unlike in other destroyed cities in Syria, here it's a ghost town. Homs was one of the initial strongholds of the militants. After a 3-year siege, all that is left of their ambitions on these streets is devastation, street after street of it. In Aleppo, people have begun to move back, but here the destruction is simply too complete, a monument to the madness and utter futility of this war. But amongst the rubble, signs of life. In this ruined home, the owners have returned.
وعملوا فتحات بالجدران مشان كمان يوصل لنا ننام هون احنا لانه هي امن منطقه كانت بالبيت اول مطبخ نتخبى هاي غرفه الاولاد هون نتلذع شوي شوي هون في خزانه كانت كبيره سكرنا فيها الحين وفي تخوت الاولاد هون طبعا رجعنا لقينا الخزانه قال بيوت خوت مكسره كلياتها فلما رجعنا بسنه 2014 كتبوا اولادي على الحيط هاي غرفتنا
And what are the rabbits' names?
Norma and Selma Jabour are Christians. Before the war, they had lived in this neighborhood all their lives.
كان هون في مثل قاطع خشب يعني نفصل الغرفة عن غرفة الصالون وبعدين هاي الطلقة بعد ما طلعنا نحن لأنه كانوا مسلحين ورا هذا الحيط والجيش هنيك ما قابلوا فالمسلحين بعد الجيش رصاص والجيش رد عليهم
The militants in Homs became dominated by al-Nusra, the al-Qaeda-affiliated group. In the West, they were regularly referred to as rebels, even as their crimes were becoming apparent. The narrative in the West is that back in 2011, there was a peaceful uprising against the government. But right from the start, police and government officials were being killed, as well as protesters. Norma remembers those days back in 2011.
بكير فقت شي 6:30 اصواتهم هن المسلحين بدهم الفرن يسكر ما يعطي العالم خبز وانتشروا بشكل مو طبيعي وانا واقفه على البلكون على اساس انه هلا شوي تاني بيجي الجيش وفعلا نزل الجيش وصار اشتباك وبعد ما طلع انا ثاني نهار بكير حملت حالي وطلعت تحت رصاص الشباب اللي كانوا قاعدين هون تبوت الجيش 14 عنصر هن اللي ساعدوني ما يعيطوا لي غير يا امي استشواربهم ما انا خاطه الكل راح بعد ما طلعت الدبابة هاي جاي تاخد أنا سلافي بقيوا بالبناية جاي تاخد جرحى من هون ضربوها صاروخ من هنيك كله راح وأخذ الحارة المسلحين
Only a few minutes drive away, we arrived in a very different Homs. The Homs that has been entirely ignored by the Western media. The Homs that always supported the government. It's a very different scene. The clean streets and almost village feel, a reminder of what life was like before the war. In the car, we're joined by Hayat. She's lived here all her life. We asked her to take us to where a suicide bomb, claimed by al-Nusra, recently rocked the city.
طبعا نحن صرنا بنقطة تفجير السيارة هون تقريبا من 15 يوم. دخلت سيارة مفخخة لها المكان. تفجرت هون تضررت هاي المنازل هون شركة الكهرباء استشهد المدير أصيبت عدد منيح من الناس هون استشهدت على هذا المقعد سيدة كبيرة بالسن
Everyone in Syria knows people who have been killed. Most have lost family members. Around Hayat's neck, a picture of her son, killed while fighting for the army.
هلا هاي صور عدد من الشهداء يلي سقطوا بمختلف مناطق يعني بمختلف مناطق سوريا تكريما لها الشهداء ولحتى يبقوا بذاكرة أطفالنا وضعت صورهم على هذا الجدار بهاي هون نحن بحي الأرمان. هذا الحي مزيج وخليط اجتماعي بيرمز إلى سوريا الأم، لأنه هو بيحمي كل الأطياف من الطيف السوري. ما راح عدد لأنه الكل بينتمي لسوريا موجود بهذا الحي.
Nearby, the funeral of one of the victims of the recent car bombing. The men are mourning outside the apartment. I spoke to a father, Gadir Salmo.
He says that his daughter was on her way to a photocopy shop to photo some questions for an upcoming exam. She was waiting for the shop to open, and that's when the car bomb that was outside went off.
His daughter, Aya, was only 15 years old. Upstairs, the women mourned separately. Hayat offers her condolences.
ابني شهيد وابنك شهيد وزوجي، ولكن السيدات في سوريا اسرتنا للعالم كله انه احنا خرج انه نشيل هاي الامانه، وخرج انه نشيل هاي الرساله، وخرج انه نوقف بجنب ازواجنا اللي عم يقاتلوا وعم يدافعوا عنا، وخرج انه نضحي بارواحنا لانه سوريا بتستاهل، بتستاهل لانه عريقه، بتستاهل لانه نحن سيدات سوريات الشامخات. الله يرحم الرحمن الرحيم ولك الفخر ونجمة علم سوريا وإن شاء الله تضل مرفرف على طول. الله يرحمه وعزم الله أشمعكم.
We were invited to speak to the girl's sister, but she was clearly in a state of shock. She showed me pictures of her sister on her phone. In Syria, only alleged crimes of Bashar al-Assad seem to make headlines in the West, while attacks like this one barely, if at all, receive a mention. Yet they are all so common throughout Syria and Iraq. April 2017, a bus convoy carrying pro-government civilians. A suicide car bomb exploded as food was being handed out to children, 68 of whom were killed. After leaving the funeral, I asked Hayat what she thought of most people in the West's opposition to the Syrian government.
نحن اليوم لما عم نقدم شهداء بسوريا عم نضحي بأولادنا ببناتنا ممكن الأم إنها تبكي. هذا خط أول ودفاع أول عن البشرية كلها. عم ندافع عن الأم بإنجلترا بألمانيا بأمريكا. حتى الأم ما تبكي مثلنا، بس أولادنا هون عم يدفعوا ضريبة، عم يدافعوا، عم يقتلوا الإرهاب على أرضنا لحتى ما يوصل لعندهم، لأنه بده يرجع لعندهم. فنحن اليوم عم نبكي لحتى العالم ما تبكي بعدين، أولادنا اليوم ما يضحوا بأنفسهم لحتى هنن ما يدوقوا المرار.
I asked her whether the pain of losing her own child is still raw.
هلا قصتها جديد، يعني بعد كم من نهار بتحس بالضغط بصير بتشعر قديش قديش هي فقدة جزء.
The road to Aleppo. Civilian cars had long become a rarity, replaced by supply lorries, oil tankers, military convoys and refugees. At some points, the aftermath of battles passed, army convoys ambushed by militants, a reminder of the danger on this road that shoots out like a spiderweb into militant territory. Only a few kilometers to the west, Tahrir al-Sham, the Al-Qaeda-affiliated group. To the east, Daesh, only 10 or so kilometers back, although we'd soon find out that they get a lot closer than that. We were now on the most dangerous part of the route, felled pylons and debris, and for miles no other cars on the road but us. If it didn't feel like the end of the world, it certainly felt like civilization was under serious threat of falling to the barbarians. At one of the army bases that dot this road, we met Major Allah. He told me how important this road is. Without it, they would have lost the entire north of the country. He then took us for a walk off-road. About 100 meters out, a familiar smell, pungent and thick. We tried to get downwind. And there they were, Daesh barbarians, North African, the major said. They'd come a long way to die out here.
هذا مجموعة إرهابية هاجمت النقطة هذيك. مجموعة إرهابية ثانية هاي المجموعة هاي حاولت تهريب السلاح باتجاه داعش. تم قتل المجموعة هذيك وتدمير هالمجموعة هي. وليكن هاي قدامكم. هيك صار. نحن كان الكمين موجود هون في هذه النقطة. فجرنا فيهم عبوة ناسفة. هاجمناهم بالسلاح المتوسط والخفيف. قتلناهم واستولينا على أسلحتهم.
I asked Major Allah why nobody had buried them. They've been out here for 6 days. They don't deserve it, he replied, and he meant it.
هذا هو مصير كل إرهابي ما باع نفسه للإرهاب وللشيطان. هذا هو المصير.
The Tau missile lying next to the bodies and pieces was clearly American. Daesh militants using high-tech American weapons. How did it come to this? Western governments, including my own, had been supporting the militants since the war began, with weapons, money, and training. I couldn't help but feel embarrassed by that, by my country's involvement, accidental or otherwise, for the rise of the barbarians. Back in the car, we continued our tour of this Mad Max Fury Road.
هاي التلة والتلة جنبها هاجموها الدواعش السنة الماضية. استشهد فيها 65 شهيد. قطعوا رؤوسهم وحرقوهم. بالاسترجاع رحلنا شهيدين وخمس جرحى بس.
At the base, we spoke to the soldiers.
Who do you think is supporting Al-Qaeda and Daesh? Which countries are supporting them?
أغلب أمريكا. يوغوسلافا أكيا بلغاري قناصات استرالية صواريخ داو أمريكي داو أمريكي قناصات استرالية بكيسي أجنبي ذخيرة إسرائيلية.
And what do you think of that? What do you think of all these other countries, particularly Western countries, with their weapons ending up here fighting you? What do you think about that?
نحن على حق وعم ندافع عن وطننا وبلدنا وعن عرضنا ونحن عم ندافع عن الحق وهن عم ندافعوا عن الباطل، فالباطل نهايته قريب إن شاء الله ونحن الحق منتصرين بوجود الأصدقاء الروس والإيرانيين والمحور المقاومة والنصر للجيش العربي السوري بإذن الله.
These soldiers are part of the elite Tiger Force and were the same men who'd ambushed the barbarians we'd seen earlier rotting in the desert.
And who's harder to fight, Daesh or Al-Qaeda?
Daesh. Daesh ثقافة قطع الرؤوس. قطع الرؤوس. عرفت شلون؟ فجبهة النصرة أخف من داعش ولكن داعش عاملة رعب بالمنطقة بالفظائع اللي اشتغلتها اللي ما اشتغلتها البشرية بحياتها. لذلك نحن موجودين هون للقضاء على داعش وجبهة النصرة سواء.
And what about the Western-backed Free Syrian Army? Do you see any of that?
لا جيش حر ولا معارضة معتدلة ولا معارضة متوسطة كله مسلح ثقافته الذبح وقطع الرؤوس فقط لا غير إن كان من أطفال ونساء وشيوخ لا يميزون بين الصغير والكبير والحق كله عندهم سواء. لا معارضة معتدلة ولا معارضة مسلحة.
And how long do you think you're going to be in this base surrounded by Al-Qaeda and Daesh?
حتى النصر. حتى الشهادة أو النصر.
Until.
The sheer scale of destruction in Syria can at times feel overwhelming, but amongst the ruins there is opportunity.
نهار عن نهار عم تفتح محلات عالم عم ترجع كل يوم أحسن من اليوم اللي قبله.
مستقبل إلنا
بكرة أشغال بترجع العالم أشغالها هذا هالعمار كله ما بده عالم تشتغل فيه.
I asked them whether they could ever forgive those that did this to their neighborhood.
هو لا مشان نستمر بهالحياة لازم نسامح بس شغلي بدها شوية وقت بدها وقت لأنه صعب يعني حياة بدها تستمر لأنه الشيء صار فينا ما نقول تفرج انت يصير فيك هيك بتسامح انت بتسامح
ما
بدي
صعب اول شيء قضاء يجي يسلموا حالهم وتحاسبوا حسب القانون السوري وبعد ما يخلصوا العقوبه تبعيتهم او يطلعوا من القضاء بريئين بعدين نسال حالنا بنسامحهم او لا.
In my time covering the Syrian war, it has been the sectarianism, the massacres committed by Daesh and Al-Qaeda, which have haunted me the most. But as we left the Jabour's battered apartment in Homs, a hopeful scene on the street outside. A Sunni, a Shia, two Christians and a cat. And hopefully for a neighbourhood and a country that can surely only improve from here. It had been a long journey. Damascus, Palmyra, up the Aleppo Road. Spending time in Syria, you soon learn to forget everything you read or see about the war back home. The Syrian army is ridiculed and accused of the most heinous crimes by the West, but clearly without them this whole country would have fallen to Daesh and Al-Qaeda, and surely they deserve some respect for that. Upon arriving in Aleppo, a devastating sight. I'd seen ruined cities before, elsewhere in the Middle East, but this was on another scale. It seemed to go on forever. A museum to the sheer scale of this terrible war that has been a blight on the world's conscience for 6 long years. But all wars must come to an end. The fear in Syria is whether the end of this war may simply mark the start of another.